My name is Patricia Kathleen, and this podcast series will contain interviews I conduct with female and female-identified entrepreneurs, founders, co-founders, business owners, and industry gurus. These podcasts speak with women and women-identified individuals across all industries in order to shed light for those just getting into the entrepreneurial game, as well as those deeply embedded within it. Histories, current companies, and lessons learned are explored in the conversations I have with these insightful and talented powerhouses. The series is designed to investigate a female and female-identified perspective in what has largely been a male-dominated industry in the USA to date. I look forward to contributing to the national dialogue about the long overdue change of women in American business arenas, and in particular, entrepreneurial roles. You can contact me via my media company website, wild.agency, that's WILDE.agency, or my personal website, patriciakathleen.com. Thanks for listening. Now let's start the conversation. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Patricia, and I am so excited to be sitting down today with Carrie Leslie. Carrie is the CEO at NoniCo. NoniCo is a natural skincare manufacturer with a focus on breast health based in Encinitas, California. You can visit their website to learn more about their products, which currently are Magic Deodorant and Boob Balm, at their website, spelled NoniKoSkin.com, NoniKoSkin.com. And so welcome, Carrie.
Thank you, Patricia. It's great to be here.
It's wonderful to have you. A quick bio on Carrie for everyone to get a background on her. Carrie is originally from Baltimore, Maryland. She went to UNCW in Wilmington, North Carolina, where she studied biology and chemistry. She then moved to San Diego in 2005 and spent 10 years in the medical device industry in positions ranging from regulatory affairs to strategic marketing. In 2015, NoniCo was founded as a nights and weekends project that has since turned into a full-fledged star and is now Carrie's main endeavor. So I'm excited to kind of drop into NoniCo, but as a quick roadmap for all of us, everyone listening, we're gonna touch on Carrie's academic background and then drop straight into questions regarding NoniCo, how it was conceived, and when it switched from being this kind of moonlighting event to the main show, as well as other business endeavors, what stage it's in, what are the main veins of distribution and sales, overhead, underhead, business particulars, things of that nature. Then we will pivot and talk about the goals for the next 3 years that NoniCo has regarding things of scaling, further product development, and all of that. Then we will wrap up the podcast with everyone's favorite, which is advice Carrie has for those looking to do what she does or get involved in similar business endeavors. So Carrie, will you just drop us straight into your background in academia at UNCW? Did you know when you were obtaining that degree that you wanted to go into the medical device industry with biology and chemistry, or were you kind of just a free-for-all?
No, not at all. So I think like most people in my major, we were all looking at the pre-med pathway. Right. So wanting to be a doctor as I entered college, and then not really knowing what that meant, but knowing that I loved science and wanted to learn more about it. So that's how I got started. And then as I advanced in my years in college, spent a lot of time interviewing physicians and interning and realized that that wasn't the path for me. But to be honest with you, I remember having moments of my senior year of college thinking, I don't know what I want to do with this degree because I love talking to people. And most of my coursework was sitting in a laboratory and writing papers and doing research. And I loved the human interaction, which was kind of missing for me. But I was fortunate because the first job I got out of college, it was really helpful to have my background because it was a medical company and they wanted somebody with a science background that could be technical. But it allowed me to use my other skill sets. And that was that startup company that I worked for right out of college.
Was that in San Diego?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So that's what brought you out and then you just stayed. So let's get into NoniCo. Like, how was it conceived and born? Was there a great deal of time in between conception and birth, or was it kind of immediate?
So I worked for 10 years. I worked in the medical device industry and I loved it. And I didn't have any plans to switch industries, but I had, during this entire time, had been looking for a natural deodorant, literally from college, 10 years in, was looking for a natural deodorant that was effective and could never find one that worked. Right. So I would kind of try a few and then I would go back to antiperspirant and then I'd try a few more and then I'd go back to antiperspirant and I continued this pattern for a decade. Mm-hmm. And then when I became pregnant with my first daughter, I just made that commitment to myself that I wasn't going to wear an antiperspirant anymore and tried tons of natural deodorants, like spent hundreds of dollars on natural deodorants yeah, on Etsy sure. and Amazon. I would order two or three at a time and try them and nothing would work. So I just assumed that I was a particularly stinky person and that this was not going to work for me and my family would just have to deal with it. So during my first pregnancy, like I said, I couldn't find one that worked. And then when I was nursing my daughter, so it was a few months after I had her, I came across a product in a local boutique in Encinitas. And the clerk insisted that I try this product, that it was different than anybody, than any others that I tried. And I kept kind of telling her, you know, natural deodorant doesn't really work for me, so I don't think this is going to be any different. And it was a bit more expensive than I had ever spent on a deodorant, but I tried it and it worked. It worked the first day I used it. Nice. So I was pretty mind blown and I'm like, this can't be real. So then I, you know, wore it the next day and went for a run and it worked. And then I had my husband try it and it worked for him. So I was like, this stuff's crazy. It really works.
Yeah.
So I just made a phone call to the company as a fan. I was so excited that I found something that worked and I wanted to thank them. And it said that the company was based in Encinitas. So I reached out to just on the website and came to find out that it was a really small business and it was a woman doing it on her own out of her kitchen in Encinitas. And we happened to be in the same neighborhood. So we got together for coffee and quickly became friends. And at the time I was doing consulting for medical device companies. Mm-hmm. And we just decided to give it a go and try to grow this thing to give more people access to this awesome product.
Absolutely. That's cool. So she was bootstrapping out of her kitchen, which is awesome. I love that.
Yeah. And she's a really talented formulator and really just an artist, the way that she can put ingredients and aromas together.
Right.
So, and she's really gifted and she spent years working on this formula in her kitchen, but just needed, you know, some, like all of us do, we need some help. Doing it by ourselves is really tough to Absolutely. Get it out to the rest of the world.
Well, and certain people's strengths are other people's weaknesses. You know, there's not, I just haven't met a Jill of all trades yet who really like masters the marketing as well as the tech, as well as the financing. Like it's all a little bit tricky. I know that startups and, you know, entrepreneurs try to do it all, but I think that that's sometimes where they fall short. So when you started, you came on board in 2015 and it was like a nights and weekends. When did it switch over to becoming this more full-fledged affair with you?
So we kind of moved along and it organically grew. So we put our products on Amazon. We started pursuing other retailers. And in the early days, because there weren't that many natural deodorants when we first started this. So in 2016 is when we really started selling the product. And so there weren't a lot of natural deodorants on the market. So it was a little bit easier to get someone to try the product. And we had a lot of organic growth because it was really effective. Mm-hmm. And then doing it nights and weekends, it was just limited to how many people we could connect with. And then it wasn't until after I had my second daughter in 2016 that we really started focusing on, you know, hey, this thing's got some legs and I think this is going to grow. Let's really focus on this and give it a shot. So I transitioned my clients at that point because I was still consulting, just transitioned my clients and started focusing on this full time.
Okay. And then as far as, let's get into the products at mm-hmm. Noni Co. So I know about two. Are there more than two or is it just this one right now? Can you describe?
Yeah. I can share the others too. But I can give you a little bit of background too on Boob Balm because that's a pretty unique product.
Right.
So another interesting entrepreneur story. We all have our own journey. But about 6 months into Sephra and I building a partnership together, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And she's doing great now. So I always like to follow up with that mm-hmm. fact that she's doing really well and she's thriving. And but when it happened, she detected her lump really early because she always took the time to get to know her body. Mm-hmm. And what we learned about breast cancer is that like 99.9% of cases are beaten when they're caught early. So when they're detected early, but most cases that are detected early are detected by the patient themselves, not a doctor. Right. So it's so important that we as women take that responsibility and get to know our bodies. And that became really important to both of us, but really important to Sephra. She thought, wow, how can I help other people to get to know their body? Because we know so few of our friends are doing their self-checks. And mostly because they were uncomfortable and felt like they didn't know what they were doing. So they just didn't do it. Mm-hmm. And some of them, because it would create some anxiety, they were, didn't want to find something. They were kind of nervous to touch their boobs because they might find something.
Right.
So I thought, well, what do women enjoy doing in the day? And we enjoy, and as moms, you know, we have like a few moments in the evening where we have our beauty ritual and that mm-hmm. kind of makes us feel human again. And we right. get to have that special time for self-love. So Sephra had already created this a similar product of Boob Balm for herself when she was going through treatment. And she thought, well, wow, if we can just incorporate this into our anti-aging ritual to give our friends a beautiful product that they can use and it feels really nice to put on and it smells great and it's going to keep our skin looking young and beautiful. And while we're at it, let's take the time to give ourselves a regular breast massage so that we get to know our body. So that's how Boob Balm was
I love it. And you say on the website too, you know, you talk about what normal is for you. And I think that it's so crucial to understand when you're coming from a health standpoint and things like cancer checks of any kind to know oneself, you know, is the most important yeah. thing. Just because what could be abnormal for someone is not is completely normal for someone else. And just getting familiar to know what normal is, you kind of have to start this dialogue, which I think the application of a balm, you know, is just, it's so ingenious. And I haven't ever looked at it that way, but I don't know women that don't moisturize. And to give this special product to an area that reminds you to do those self-checks is just, it's awesome. It sounds like a rad gift. Like it just, it's the yeah. connection between that product and the relationship towards, you know, fighting breast cancer and making breast cancer awareness and things like that increase is so awesome. So the magic, you have the magic deodorant, which you became a convert of. That's how you kind of came up to Noniko, and then the Boob Balm. And then do you guys have any other products that you're doing right now or anything on the horizon?
Yeah. So we have the natural deodorant. We have the Boob Balm. We have the natural deodorants available in 5 different options. So we have 3 scents for our original formula, which is a baking soda base and is super effective. Literally, you put on 1 swipe in the morning and you will smell great at the end of the day. Unfortunately, some folks can't wear baking soda. So we have a sensitive formula option for those who can't tolerate baking soda on their skin. And that's a magnesium base that's really creamy and soothing to your skin. And that's available both in unscented and green mandarin scent, which is a really nice kind of sensitive skin essential oil.
Nice.
And then we actually just launched this month at a trade show, and they'll be available within the next month on our website, several other products. So we did take a focus on breast health when we launched Boob Balm because we realized that it's really important that we're taking care of our breast health mm-hmm. as an individual, and deodorant's a big part of that, right? Allowing your underarms to breathe and to allow your body to eliminate toxins and then to kind of speed up that process and help facilitate right. it by practicing regular breast massage. But then it's really not just about breast health, it's whole body health. So then we've added the dry brush, which I don't know if you're a dry brusher.
I am. I love it. I love exfoliation okay. on all levels. And the
yeah.
system and all of that. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so important. It's such a great way to exfoliate. Such a relaxing process too, again, going back to those self-love rituals that we need to make time for every day. And actually I do my dry brushing in the morning because it has a little bit of like a stimulating, energizing effect for a lot of people to really get your blood flowing. And it's stimulating your lymph and helping your body to detox. So another product that we launched is called, it's a detox clay mask, and it's actually an underarm mask. So you can use it to help speed up the process when you're transitioning from an antiperspirant to a natural deodorant. But it's also a great practice to do on a monthly basis for your underarms. Uh-huh. You could actually use this product on your face, on your chest, anywhere. It's just a deep drawing clay mask.
Nice. Yeah. And the deodorants.
We also have,
Oh, go on. Yeah.
No, I think so. And one thing I can mention, I think a lot of our customers, we do a lot of coaching on the detox process because we went through that journey ourselves of trying so many deodorants and then not working. So I always explain to people kind of what's happening with their body. So when you're wearing an antiperspirant, it's essentially clogging your sweat glands. And that's just the mechanism of how it works. It clogs them so that you can't sweat.
Right.
And then when your body wants to sweat, so it's trying to overcome those clogged sweat glands and sweat harder and harder. When you take away the antiperspirant, all of a sudden your body's pouring sweat, but nothing's stopping you from sweating. The antiperspirant's gone. So most people, the first day into their natural deodorant switch, think there's no way I can wear a natural deodorant. I'm the stinkiest person. It's all me. And that's just not for me. But in fact, that's kind of everybody's experience. And if you can allow yourself to wait for 2 weeks, your body will self-regulate and you won't sweat as much. So you really have to try to give yourself those 2 weeks to get through that, to make the transition. And the detox clay mask can help you.
Oh, that's cool.
So if you maybe reapply, our baking soda formula is great because it'll actually even neutralize existing odor. So if you sweat so much those first couple weeks that you wash it off, just take a little sample travel sticks, just take it with you and reapply. So you don't have to stink during those first 2 weeks. You just may have to reapply. And after that, once a day.
Yeah. And there's you guys have a lot of different scents and things like that for being, you know, so young in the game. It's cool to see that kind of diversity with the deodorants out there.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Yeah.
So do you, it seems like you guys are kind of cultivating this like health and wellness angle. You're not just offering, you know, a natural like deodorant, you're kind of getting into these like natural health treatments and things like that. Do you see that growing with you over the next few years, or are you just going to harness and focus in on what you have?
Yeah. So as our business is growing internally, we talk about deep health a lot, right? So rather than just the health of your skin, we talk about our products as they're being designed should all be designed for deep health through our skin. So using herbal ingredients that can really help us and are healthy for our bodies. And then also thinking about deep health beyond our skin and making products that are safe for the planet, right? So when we're washing the stuff off of us in the shower and it's going into our groundwater, we can be confident that we're putting safe products back into the earth.
Right.
And we're actually making a really large effort right now to minimize and eventually eliminate plastic from our packaging, because we want to be a part of the solution in the single-use plastic problem that, to be quite honest, we've all been a part of the problem for a long time.
Right.
And we've been working for, at least 3 years. We've been trying to find an alternative to plastic for our deodorant container. And it's been really hard to find something that's both functional and good for the planet and truly good for the planet, right? There are a lot of like plant plastics and materials out there that are just as bad as plastic unless you take them to a specific composting facility. So we want to make it something easy for people to use and be making responsible choices. So we're actually launching a stainless steel reusable deodorant container.
That's great. I was just, my mind was just trying to play around with like, it's a huge problem that affects products across the entire world. And I kept thinking, you know, coming, you do go back to like the vegetable plastics and things like that not being great. And then you have like reusable, but then there's that whole, that's like a whole separate business in and of itself, you know? So the stainless steel is awesome. So is it a refillable? Do people ship it back in? There's that whole shipping process and all of that.
So yeah, so we have some retailers, which we'll be announcing soon, that we're working with that will actually have collection sites at the retailer location. So if you're buying it at a brick and mortar store, you can bring in your empty cartridges to drop it off when you get your refill and get a discount on your next purchase. If you're buying it online, they're coming when they're shipped to you, you get a return shipment label. So you can send it back for a voucher for a future purchase.
So what are your main veins of distribution and sales? Are you guys doing the majority online, or do you have, it sounds like brick and mortar stores that you're already in bed with, or how is that working out for you guys right
now? Yeah. We have some really great retail partners throughout the country. One of our great partners locally here in the West is a retailer called Pharmica. So it's a natural pharmacy chain based out of Boulder, but they've got stores here in La Jolla and in La Costa. And they have a really interesting model because they hire most of their staff are actually naturopaths and homeopaths that work part-time. It's great for them to help them grow their business, but you as a consumer get to come in and learn from people who really understand not only the products, but the ingredients in every product. They've been a great partner for us. But then we also do a large part of our business online. But we think it's important to work with both. So that's, we want to be convenient for our customers who are online shoppers, but we also want to support our brick and mortar partners that have been there with us since the beginning.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think a lot of people thrive still in, you know, the in-person brick and mortar experience, especially with product, like you're talking about product knowledge and things that you can truly convey and stand apart with experts, in-person trade shows, these small boutique health stores and things like that. But then you also, obviously, everyone still has to or likes to have the online representation.
Yeah. Well, and I think when you're, when you talked about having the healthy body ritual piece of our business has become pretty, it's become very important in our business. When people are trying to make switches to natural products, it's a pretty big change in their life and it's overwhelming. So a lot of times they want to go into a store with somebody who's really knowledgeable, who can help them navigate through all of these products and say, okay, what's step one? Maybe step one's switching my deodorant to a safe deodorant. And then step two will be coming back to figure out the safe shampoo and conditioner. But typically I think those first steps are actually taken in a retail setting because they want some advice.
Absolutely. I agree. I think that you can spend twice as much time and learn half the amount, you know, online. When you're doing that kind of research, it's like a PhD experience mm-hmm. where you really need to go in and become an expert. And a lot of people, you know, specifically in different ages in their life, just don't have the time for that. And you also don't know who you're trusting online because everyone says they're great and wonderful and organic.
You don't know which ones are authentic. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's true that in-person moment is really important. So with like the business particulars and growth and scaling over the next 3 years, what are your plans at like Nonico? Like what do you guys have a vision set out for what you're going to be doing in, over the next 3 years?
Yeah. So the main focus of, we've got some really solid, awesome products. And then with the new products that we've launched, I don't know if we even got through them, but we can come back to that. The most important thing to us right now is now providing those products in packaging that's safe for our planet. So that's really our main focus over the next couple of years. And then working with our retailers to create this shift in buying behavior, which is essentially an entire other business, right? Is engaging folks and educating them on the importance of bringing the products back so that we can reuse them so that we don't have to continually manufacture packaging. Right. So that's really the main focus of our business over the next few years is going to be working with our partners to get that message out there and try to be part of the solution.
Absolutely. So let's get back to the products. We talked about the dry brush and the underarm clay mask.
Yeah. So we also have a hydrosol, which most people aren't familiar with what hydrosols are. So when you distill a plant, you get two byproducts. You get an essential oil, which everybody knows, but then there's also a water byproduct. So all of the oil-loving nutrients will go to the essential oil and all the water-loving will go to the hydrosol. So it's basically pure distilled plant water, and it's really powerful stuff. It's great to be used as a toner. We actually use that as an activator for our clay mask. We also actually recommend using it when you're using any of our balms. So we actually were talking before the podcast got started about how it's, you know, difficult to have natural ingredients that can stay shelf stable for a long time. So our way of doing that is we keep the oil and the water separate. So when you introduce water into natural ingredients, it's more difficult to stabilize and you typically have to introduce preservatives. But if you keep the oil and water separate, they're much more shelf stable without the need to introduce any preservatives. So we don't put any preservatives. We put natural preservatives of like vitamin E that have other value. And some of the just ingredients in our products are naturally preserving, but nothing's added in there as a preservative. And we do that by keeping it to be only an oil-based product. But at home, if you put on water before you put on an oil-based product, you're going to get the maximum benefit of moisturizing. It's going to allow the ingredients in the product to penetrate to the deepest layers of your skin mm-hmm. and give you the maximum benefits. So you would spray a hydrosol and then you would put on your boob balm or your body balm to help really get a maximum benefit. It also makes the product go a little bit further.
So right.
Get the most out of it. So we have the hydrosol, and then we also have launched a body balm and an after sun balm, which are really similar in texture as our boob balm, which has become really popular. It's got a really unique texture because it goes on like an oil. It's a nice massage texture, but then it absorbs like a lotion. So nice. The Body Balm has some rose geranium, which is in itself really helpful at stimulating lymph. So it's great for giving yourself a daily body massage when you're moisturizing in the day. And then After Sun Balm is just a really great product for when you get too much sun, especially here in San Diego. As much as we're trying to constantly coat ourselves in SPF, there's always times where you get a little too much sun, and it helps you to just prevent that skin from getting any damage after the fact and lock in some moisture.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, after Sun Balm, I always say that it's San Diego too, but you know, looking at the nation over and the skin cancer rates, I think that everyone needs a little
one. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Those are exciting products. Is that them in total?
And we have two more. So we've got a bath tea that's a detox bath tea. So nice. It comes with a refillable tea bag. So you just create a little tea bag, hang it on your faucet. When the water passes through, it turns your bathtub into a tea. So it's an herbal bath tea. And then we have just a really nice salt scrub, everyday salt scrub that you can use in the shower.
That's awesome. Yeah, the bath tea sounds fascinating. I know that I've had a couple of colleagues along the way, you know, women in arms with me, talk about the dangers of using like essential oils. I think when essential oils boomed, everyone started using them just ad hoc, you know, like ad nauseum and ad hoc, like nobody really knew what they were doing. And so if you put those in the bath, you can actually end up kind of in some dangerous scenarios, like if you put mint into your bath, which sounds delightful and it can actually lower your body temperature and all these like dangerous things. So the idea of having a bath tea sounds on par with like maybe a little bit more of a gentle and soothing.
Yeah, it's a milder version of that. It's a little bit more regulated in the dosage, I guess, but it's, so it's going to be a milder, much milder version of that. And it's just the plants that, you know, it's dried plants. So you just get a true herbal bath. And as close as you can get to
who comes up with the products. Do you guys brainstorm how are these? Cause they're all clever and insightful and exciting, you know, sounding, how are you guys guided along that creative process?
Yeah. So, it's a team effort. So we welcome input from everyone on our team. And it's really a group effort when we're coming up with pipeline products, but essentially everything's been born out of what we've wanted, right? We started a natural deodorant company because we really needed a natural deodorant. You know, Sephra created the Boob Balm because it was actually something that she really needed during her treatment because she had a difficult time during the reconstruction massage. You're supposed to massage the tissue around your surgical sites, and she needed something that was good for the delicate skin. So that's how she created that product. And then there became our whole mission around that. And then our customers have really guided a lot of that input as well. So as we work with our retail customers, they're asking for specific things. They love the quality of products that come out of our company, but they've wanted a wider assortment. So we've just been listening to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of the collective effort in coming up with these, how many people strong is Noniko? How many people do you guys have under that umbrella working with it?
We're still a really small team. So we have, it's under 10 of us that are now working on a daily basis.
That's a pretty healthy size though. I mean, growing too fast with anything, I think can be the death of a startup. Over the next 3 years, you guys are looking at providing, the quality and the packaging of the products and increasing your audience out there. What advice would you have if you ran into someone who, you know, had just gotten done working in the medical device industry after graduating with a degree in biology and chemistry? And she was like, yeah, I think I'm going to get into this natural product moment and I'm going to launch with a co-founder. What are like the three main pieces of advice you would give her right off the bat to kind of sidestep some of the more troublesome road bumps?
I think I would help set expectations of the timeline. I think when I started this business, everyone I spoke to, because there's a much faster route to profitability when you're working with a medical device company, because it's very different margins. So I think in my mind, it was like, okay, 2 years, we put in 2 years and then see what this turns into. But all of the folks that I've gotten to know since 2016, been spending a lot of time with other entrepreneurs, which I hadn't really, but prior to that, everyone I worked with was in a pretty corporate setting, minus the startup that I worked for, but even then they'd come from a very corporate setting, has told me it's more like 5 to 10 years before, if you're going to bootstrap it, and maybe you could offer some insight there because you've done this so many times, but that was the more realistic version of that is just be sure that you're in it for the long haul and that it's really what you want to do. You can't be in it for the money because the money's not going to come for a long time. Right. So you really need to be motivated and love what you're doing and have that be your inspiration, because if you're inspired by an exit, that you're not going to be able to run on that for 10 years. Right. So you have to just really have a lot of meaning behind what you're doing and get passionate about it. What else? And then the other thing would be to find a great partner that complements your skill set. You know, when we first started this, we were just really fortunate that like Sephra and I had found each other and we had really different skill sets, which I think helps because you kind of don't get in each other's way. Just you do what you're good at and they do what they're good at and you keep moving forward.
Yeah. They say that a startup is the fastest way to kill or make a friendship.
what's great is that we met basically by starting this company together, and it was probably pretty crazy because it was like we felt like we got married after the first date. We just kind of rushed right into this and didn't really know each other very well, but we're still very good friends today and we're really fortunate for that.
Absolutely. And it's kismet, the meeting, you know, with you being impressed by the product and reaching out, like that's all of it's just like, it's meant to be in the stars. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I think so.
What do you think as far as like the biggest hiccups you and Sephra have had over the past couple of years? Like let's say since 2015, what were like some of the more major roadblocks looking back now that you could have like assuaged?
I mean, I think another thing, you have to have the expectation that life gets in the way, right? With a small business, because in a large company, if someone's out on sick leave or maternity leave, the business keeps going and people step in. It's not the case with the startup.
Right.
So I would suggest actually hiring sooner. I think that's what I would have done so that you could keep the ship moving forward. I think we kept holding off, not really wanting to have that, the overhead to be responsible for, because you just weren't, it was so unknown. And I'm actually not naturally a huge risk taker. So that was hard for me. But now looking back, I think we missed an opportunity for faster growth by not bringing on help. And just to get through the day to day, you need help so that you can go out and develop new business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you're spending your time filling orders and making product, you're not maximizing the growth of the company.
No. And oftentimes I always advise people when they're hiring, it keeps us, even the most accountable, you know, marathon runner in us has this moment of like, just, I don't want to do that today. And if someone's coming in and working for you, you're going to get it done. It keeps you accountable.
I think that's a great point. I think that's a great point.
Yeah. Hiring sooner. I agree with that. And I've not met with one entrepreneur that is a woman or female identified that hasn't confessed that they haven't outsourced or hired sooner. You know, that it's also this like Jill of all trades. Like, I'm going to do it all. I can do it all. I don't need to hire anyone, because I think that's culturally how we're set up. You know, we're supposed to have the children, run the house, start your company, do it all. And so it's this like, don't ask for help, figure it out, you know?
I think that's, unfortunately, that's just how we're built, huh? But I think it's also fear that just gets in the way of that. You're like, well, what if it doesn't work? I don't want to hire someone. And I think I was scared to bring on somebody and then be relying on me for employment when I didn't know what was going to be happening 6 months later.
Right.
And I think you have to let that fear go, because you're doing this because you believe that it's going to succeed, and that employee is happy to, if they're joining a startup, they understand that risk. So bring on the right team early and have the confidence that it's going to happen. Because I think if you continue to work hard and you have the strength and determination to keep moving forward, it's really a matter of time. If you have a great product, it's a matter of time. It's not if, it's just when. So
absolutely,
if you can speed that up faster. Yeah.
There's a mathematical algorithm, and I always forget the name of it, but someone did, and it doesn't surprise me given that we can figure things out with elections before they actually happen, but that it talks about making it big, like a big break in Hollywood. And they break it down to like a 7-year timeline. Like if you can stick it out and actively go on auditions for 7 years, you'll break it.
You'll make it.
Yeah. And so I've always thought like, it's clever, and we should have all known that anyway. I truly believe that there's not one person that gets up, and you can't wake up every day and do nothing. But if you get up and you, you know, you actively pursue your 10 goals for that day, like at some point in time, you will succeed. You know how quickly it happens. But I think that there's this, we have this like kind of fantastical view of success, like, ooh, the ones that did it are lucky or special or, you know, a genius. And I don't believe that. I think that it's like, that's a, like a romantic view of it. I think it's really just about putting in the hours.
Yeah. It's timing and hard work, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you have, I mean, you have to have a great product. You can't just make anything, but as you've got, if you have a great product and the will to keep going, it'll happen. So yeah, just hire early and help that ship to keep moving forward. So when life does get in the way, you don't take steps backwards and slow down. You can keep the business moving forward and growing.
1,000%. Well, I am so glad that you took, I know you're wildly busy. I don't know anybody who isn't, but I know that you in particular have a lot on your plate professionally and personally. And so I just want to say thank you so much, Carrie, for sitting down with me today. It was awesome to hear about it. And for everyone listening, can you say the website one more time?
Sure. It's nonikoskin.com. So NONIKOSKIN.com.
And all of the products and all the literature and everything we've talked about can be found there. And I'm assuming people can reach out and contact you from there. I'd love to circle back around in a year and find out what's going on. I think you guys are on the verge of some really killer growth, which always changes companies in unknown ways. So I'll have to come back by and bug you again in a year and find out how
that sounds great. You're
doing. Awesome.
Looking forward to it. Keep me accountable.
Yeah, right. There you go. Accountability, always. All right. Everyone, thank you for listening today. I appreciate your time. And until we talk again next time, remember to always bet on yourself. Slunch.